Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loride. Later on today, we're going to talk about transportation in Hillsborough County. We're going to meet some opponents of that measure that's on the ballot on November 6th that would raise the local sales tax in Hillsborough County by a penny. We'll talk about that later on in the program. We'll also be opening up the phone lines in just a few minutes, and we'll hear some candidates' messages. But first, four listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, we spent a lot of the program talking about U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell's proposal to cut Social Security and Medicare in order to fix the widening federal deficit. Here's what several listeners had to say.
Concerning the deficit, I've called for a couple decades. Both parties, neither have responded. And I asked the question, did you take an oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution, the laws of this land, the highest laws of the land? I said, Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution clearly states there's to be accounting of all appropriations. Where is the accounting of all the appropriations? And since they keep throwing a lot of money at the DOD, Department of Defense, and they're one of the largest consumers of our tax dollars, the Inspector General for the DOD admitted they could only fully account for one-third of the money. More recently, they kind of admitted that $7 trillion, they guesstimate, has never been accounted for. And I've seen the waste personally in some situations in my brief encounters with the government, military, DOD. I've seen some waste, and I'm sure plenty of other people have been in the military have seen that too. But I've never gotten a response from either party. And how can you violate the highest laws of the land? I did get through to one of the aides for one of the people, and I said, if you violate the highest laws of the land and the Constitution, what would that constitute? He said, that would be high crimes. I said, very good. You got it. You understand. I said, this is criminal. On down from not our only our politicians, but the people in the defense that are responsible for all these appropriations. That's a violation of our Constitution. Why is this not being discussed?
This is Shelley Rogers calling. I'd like to comment on the public welfare, health care talk you had yesterday. People confuse socialism with communism. Anything that implies the Red Menace is immediately demonized. Socialism is a good thing. Not a bad thing. A happy society, healthy society, is a society that people want to live in, i.e. Scandinavia. Also, in the 60s and the 70s, a conscious effort was made to prejudice people in their views of these policies, like welfare and aid to dependent children, by putting the face of people of color as the recipients. Falsely, that is, they are not the main recipients. The Republicans really do not want a happy society. They want greed. Thank you.
Yes, I have a comment about Mitch McConnell saying that entitlements need to be cut because of the budget deficit. Of course, this budget deficit has been made much worse by the tax bill the Republicans passed, which is a big giveaway to the rich and corporations, and is going to hurt the poor working man in the long run. I can't think of a better example of this than in my own congressional district. Vern Buchanan, the Republican, is running against David Shapiro, the Democrat. This is for District 16 for U.S. Congress. David Shapiro has been running ads about how Vern Buchanan, the very day the tax bill passed, went out and bought a $5 million yacht. And he's been putting pictures of this yacht on television. So the other day, I was on my way from Anna Marie Island back into Bradenton, and the drawbridge was up, and there was a huge boat. It looked like a small battleship was waiting to pass through the drawbridge. So they had to, it's so big they had to raise the drawbridge, and it was Vern's yacht. So since traffic was stopped, I went out on the edge of the bridge, you know, and I waved. I go, "Hey, Vern, how's the new yacht?" Donald Trump and his merry band of Republicans are like Robin Hood in reverse. They are robbing the poor to give to the rich. And let's everybody get out and vote this election while we still can.
And St. Pete, I was just listening to the Mitch McConnell interview that you were playing back. And people have to understand the capitulation of the Democratic Party. Reaganism, when Reaganism came in and basically drastically cut taxes on the 1% and even on the 10% wannabes, it started to raise the payroll tax to make up the difference. And Mitch McConnell is a product of Reaganism, and he is going to point the finger at the poor, at the blue-collared people of this country, that it's their fault that we're $21 trillion in debt. If you were to accumulate all the money laundered and tax evasion back to Ronald Reagan, you'd probably be out of debt, this country. And we need more Bernie Sanders. And the Democratic Party's failure to stand up and give us representation of blue-collared working people in this country.
Well, there you have some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. In a moment, we're going to hear more of our free messages from candidates. We're giving candidates of any political party free airtime before the November 6th elections. And then we'll open up the phone lines in a few minutes. Later on, we'll talk about that 1 cent sales tax increase proposal that's on the ballot in Hillsborough County. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Well, as a public service, WMNF is offering free airtime for political candidates. We're giving up to 2 minutes of free airtime for a message recorded by the candidates themselves. The message may include anything the candidate would like to say about why they should be elected to office. They may also include contact information. This offer is open to any candidate, regardless of party affiliation, who's running statewide or locally and who is on the ballot on November 6th in Hillsborough, Pinellas, Sarasota, Pasco, Polk, or Manatee counties. Candidates may record their messages right now at 813-238-8001, extension 115. We'll be playing those messages back during the 11 o'clock hour during the next several days. Any message over the two-minute limit will be edited to reduce the length. And again, the place to record a candidate's message is 813-238-8001, extension 115. All messages must be recorded by 9 a.m. on Tuesday, October 23rd. All right, so we've got two more candidates' messages to play for you right now. The first candidate is running in Sarasota County for the Charter Review Board. Here is the first of two candidates' messages for today.
Hello, my name is Krista Lohr, and I am running for Sarasota County Charter Review Board District 1. I want to serve on the Charter Review Board because the Charter Review Board currently lacks an advocate for the people and the environment. You want me on the Charter Review Board because as a Charter Review Board member, I will fight for the voters and the natural resources in Sarasota County. The Charter Review Board is a 10-person board elected at large or countywide that oversees our local county constitution, the Sarasota County Charter. I am running to protect the voters' voice in the Sarasota County Charter. Again, my name is Krista Lohr, and I am running for Sarasota County Charter Review Board District 1, and I hope to have your support November 6th. My name is Krista Lohr, and I approve this message. Thank you so much.
There you have Crystal Lohr, who is running in Sarasota for the Charter Review Board District 1. Next, we'll listen to a candidate who's running in Pinellas County for the school board.
Hello, I am Nicole Carr, and I am running for Pinellas County School Board, District 3, countywide, because I believe our schools have the potential to be so much more. Education has been my life. I grew up in my dad's classroom and went on to work as an English teacher, a school counselor, an assistant principal, and an evaluator of educational programs. I have a bachelor's degree in English education, a master's in school counseling, and earned a PhD from the College of Education at the University of Florida. I've worked in elementary, middle, and high schools all here in Pinellas County, and I know we can do better. As a district, we need to be honest and transparent and admit we are not making the progress we need to make to really address the achievement gap. All of our students deserve an opportunity to thrive. And it is critical that we do something about the number of great teachers we lose every year. We need policies that support a climate that values, not micromanages, our educators. It's time to stop spending money on programs and consultants that have no evidence of working, because I believe the only people who should be profiting from public education are our students. And we can absolutely reduce the amount of testing the district imposes on our children. As a mom of two boys, I want them to have a love of learning, not pressure to do well on a test. School boards matter, and it's time for fresh ideas. I'm Nicole Carr. You can learn more about me at NicoleCarr.com and email me through my website. And I hope that you'll remember this car is driven to improve our schools and vote on November 6th. Thank you for your time.
Well, that's Nicole Carr, who took us up on our offer of free airtime for all the candidates who are on the ballot in the local counties in Hillsborough, Pinellas, Sarasota, Pasco, Polk, or Manatee counties. Nicole Carr is running for the Pinellas School Board countywide. And we'll do more of this in the coming days. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And again, we offer this free airtime to candidates regardless of their political party. Here's an email that came in regarding the comments at the top of the show. And soon we're going to open up the phone lines for a few minutes. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. But this person writes regarding one of the comments at the top. Yeah, socialism, i.e. Scandinavia, is great until you Google it and find out that the income taxes are anywhere from 39% to 60% in Scandinavian countries. And this person goes on to write, LOL, libtards are idiots. All right. Well, thank you for that. That's unsigned. That person is anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous, for your message. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. We're going to open up the phone lines. What launched that conversation yesterday was this statement that was recorded on Bloomberg TV with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell talking about his plans to cut Social Security now that the deficit, the federal deficit, is so high.
I have to ask you about the national debt, $21 trillion, the deficit, $779 billion. Some predicting that could reach a trillion in 2019. What's going on with the debt?
It's very disturbing, and it's driven by the three big entitlement programs that are very popular, Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid. That's 70% of what we spend every year. The subject we were just discussing, the funding of the government, is about 30% of what we spend. There's been a bipartisan reluctance to tackle entitlement changes because of the popularity of those programs. Hopefully, at some point here, we'll get serious about this. We haven't been yet.
And it would appear, if you kind of look at the tea leaves, that divided government might actually yield to entitlement reform or at least make it easier.
Well, we had that opportunity during the Obama years, and I talked to President Obama about it a number of times. It would have been the perfect time to do it. Think of Reagan and Tip O'Neill coming together in the early 80s to raise the age for Social Security. It took it out of the political arena and made it possible for it to be successful. That's what we had the chance to do during the Obama years, because we had divided government for six of his 8 years. Unfortunately, it was not achieved.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Tuesday on TV saying that he wanted to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid in order to pay for the ballooning federal deficit. We had Alex Lawson on from Social Security Works yesterday saying, of course, that Social Security does not pay or does not contribute to the national deficit. Social Security is self-funded. It's funded by everybody that goes to work, and that's money is separate from the federal deficit. Well, let's listen in to what a conservative leader said about this way back in 1984. Here is one of the leading conservative lights, Ronald Reagan, talking about Social Security and its relationship to the federal deficit. This is Ronald Reagan during one of the candidates' debates.
Social Security, let's lay it to rest once and for all. I told you never would I do such a thing. But I tell you also now, Social Security has nothing to do with the deficit. Social Security is totally funded by the payroll tax levied on employer and employee. If you reduce the outgo of Social Security, that money would not go into the general fund to reduce a deficit. It would go into the Social Security Trust Fund. So Social Security has nothing to do with balancing a budget or erasing or lowering the deficit.
Ronald Reagan saying that Social Security has nothing to do with balancing the budget or raising or lowering the deficit. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. President Trump has been under fire for his the way he's reacted to the killing of the Saudi Arabian journalist, Jamal Khashoggi. and whether or not he's gone too soft on Saudi Arabia. He's been questioned in the last few days about whether or not he has business interests in Saudi Arabia. Yesterday, the president tweeted that he had no financial interests in Saudi Arabia. Let's listen to what President Trump said before he was president. This is during the 2016 presidential campaign. This is how the president described his own relationship with Saudi Arabia.
And I get along great with all of them. They buy apartments from me. They spend $40 million, $50 million. Am I supposed to dislike them? I like them very much. I love the Saudis. Many are in this building.
Saudi Arabia, I like the Saudis. They're very nice. I make a lot of money with them. They buy all sorts of my stuff. All kinds of toys from Trump. They pay me millions and hundreds of millions.
President Trump saying the Saudis pay him millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. In just a few minutes, we're going to talk about transportation in Hillsborough County. There's a proposed ballot issue that would raise the sales tax by 1 cent in Hillsborough County. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes with some opponents. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Well, we had lots of people calling in. They've all dropped off. And I'll tell you what, let's switch gears right now and talk about the sales tax. And let me just let's take a break. And this is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Grateful Dead here on WMNF in Tampa. Well, this November 6th in Hillsborough County, a 1 cent countywide sales tax for transportation improvements is on the ballot. The measure would increase Hillsborough's sales tax by a penny for 30 years. The plan commits 54% of the revenue generated by the tax to the county and its three cities, Tampa, Temple Terrace, and Plant City, to road work. Of that, at least 27% would go for improvements to make streets, roads, and bridges safer. Another 26% would go to relieve rush hour bottlenecks and speed traffic flow on existing streets. 20% would go for road and bridge repairs, such as filling potholes. At least 12% would be spent on bike and pedestrian safety improvements. The remainder, up to 15%, would go for any transportation project, including for new traffic lanes. Another 45% of the revenue generated by the tax would go to HART, Hillsborough's mass transit agency, to further develop, operate, and maintain public transit service. At least 45% of that portion would enhance bus transit and other HART services, and at least 35% would be spent on transit that utilizes dedicated rights of way, such as express buses, trolleys, or rail. The remaining portion would be spent on any public transit project. The plan creates an independent 13-member oversight committee to ensure the money is spent as promised. Well, 2 weeks ago, we had some supporters of this 1 cent sales tax increase in Hillsborough County on the air. Now we're going to have an opponent. Sharon Calvert is with the group No Tax for Tracks. And Sharon, welcome back to WMNF. Nice to see you.
Thank you. We're here again.
Okay, so you're opposed to this 1 cent tax increase. So why?
Well, first of all, it's a 14% sales tax rate increase. And that at that rate, going to 8% would put Hillsborough County tied with small Liberty County as the highest tax rate in the state. And of course, there's another initiative that could possibly make Hillsborough County the education tax.
That's the which 1/2 cent sales tax for schools.
Right. Yeah. That would put Hillsborough County to be the highest sales tax rate in the state. But as you mentioned, the devil is in the details, and it's in the 5-page charter amendment language itself. What we are finding out is many people haven't read it. So, yes, every day a glossy advertisement is hitting the mailboxes of voters in Hillsborough County, but what the mailer is saying versus what is in the actual language is a big difference. And I think one of the things that you said is incorrect.
Okay, tell me which one.
There is no dedicated funding in this 30-year tax hike for new road capacity, additional lane capacity. In fact, what's in here is prohibitions and limitations on adding new roads and new lane capacity. And of course, that's a great need right now, desperately today, in unincorporated.
The supporters were here a few weeks ago. They said they didn't want to widen roads. That's what they said. That they said they want to improve the roads that exist, take away the potholes and all that. But they were not in favor of widening roads.
So why do you need a $16 billion tax if you're not going to get any new road capacity? But the other thing that they're saying, and we agree with them on this, is 700,000 to 800,000 people will be moving to Hillsborough County over that 30-year period. Now, common sense says you have to have new road capacity because the growth is occurring.
All right, so this is a question I asked them when they were here, the All for Transportation people. Who should pay for it? Are roads a local responsibility? Are they a county responsibility? Are they a state responsibility? Are they a federal responsibility?
Well, it's all three. We have interstates that are paid for with your federal gas taxes and general revenues. You have state roads, which are paid for with your gas taxes and other revenues. And then you've got local roads, right? And the county roads. And somebody has to pay for them. And the interesting thing is, you know that the county commission just, a year or so ago implemented mobility fees? Well, the algorithm to the developer to pay, you know, his fair share, because I think there was widespread agreement on implementing those mobility fees. But the algorithm, you have to take out any credits. Well, guess what the credit is? That huge sales tax. So that means developers, that mobility fee will be drastically reduced, perhaps cut in half. I mean, it'll be meaningless at this point.
So let me just kind of get the big picture from you. And we're talking with Sharon Calvert of No Tax for Tracks. She's an opponent of the 1 cent tax increase in Hillsborough County. So if a lot of people are moving to the county, and the roads are getting more and more used, and they seem more and more crowded, and pedestrians are getting mowed over every day, every week. There's a new shocking accident involving a bicyclist or pedestrian. What would you do about the roads in Hillsborough County? Do we have enough money currently in the budget to do what we need to do?
Well, two things. First of all, I always say prioritize your budget. I would say transportation is a higher priority than a baseball stadium. Okay? So there you go. And you could look at that budget and prioritize your highest priorities first and fund those. But there's also another funding.
Not to interrupt you, but right now there's no money in that Hillsborough County budget or Tampa
budget. No, there is money because
for the baseball stadium.
Well, all I'm saying is let's keep it that way, right?
Okay, all right. I think a lot of people would agree with you on that.
But the point is that on top of prioritizing the budget, is there is another proposal that's been presented to the county commission, who has handed it over to the Citizens Advisory Committee. Now, the Citizens Advisory Committee has been sitting on it because we've got this. I mean, what's going to happen if this passes, right? That becomes the funding. But that proposal doesn't raise your taxes. And not only does it not raise your tax, but it uses value capture. And value capture financing is one of the things that the federal and state is looking at to be used for transit
projects. Well,
tell
us what that is. Tell us what value capture is.
That means that you use the increased property values with that transit-oriented development occurs with that, and that helps to finance. It's almost like, you know, CRA money.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah. Okay.
The same concept.
I gotcha. So do you have a number? Do you know how much more we're going to need to keep up with the road improvements? I mean, the county owns a lot of roads. The city is responsible for the maintenance of the non-state roads, as I understand it. So do you have a number? How much are we going to need in the coming 30 years?
Well, what I would do is I would look at a 10-year plan. I think that's digestible. I mean, on the education side for their tax increase, that's much more pragmatic. They have a concrete list of projects. I think there's a bad taste in your mouth to go look for a 30-year tax after the CIT. I mean, I think there's just kind of this, whole thing. They blew it out. They bonded it. And the same thing will happen. So, you know, the county should look, you know, or and the city and the municipalities, let's look at 10 years. Because the other thing is, what's going to happen to transportation in 10 years? We got the autonomous vehicle, the connected vehicle, where the private sector is going. The Uber and Lyft has changed things. I mean, it's a dynamic time as far as disruption in the transportation industry. So why get stuck with something? Because this plan, this five pages, it is very specific about the allocations. And on the transit side, it allows no changes. For 30 years, you can't reallocate any of the transit money. Now, on the, what they're calling the general purpose side, and notice they didn't call it road purposed. On the general purpose side, you can fund in that remaining, and you can reallocate some of it. By the way, you can't reallocate any of the money for the bike paths and sidewalks. So why did, you know, you have to start asking yourself, why did these, why are these specific prohibitions and language used? It has to be intentionally.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that, that there is this plan that has been, who provided the alternative plan?
Dr. James Davidson.
Okay.
And he served on the CAC at one time, and mm-hmm. he's been involved in transportation for over 20 years.
And he's got this other way, and he would rearrange the county's priorities in order to come up with money to pay for.
Well, you got
to
remember, the CIT tax will be expiring.
What's the date on that?
It's 2026.
And that's what paid for the schools and Raymond James Stadium.
Right, yeah. Right.
But and that was the additional half cent sales
infrastructure tax, which actually is a broader tax, you know, for its use. But that will come up for reauthorization. And it always usually those taxes get reauthorized before they totally expire, right? So the proposal for him was to reauthorize that at a quarter cent and then a quarter cent in transportation, use value capture. And it's very flexible because you could look at those funding. You could do it in a 5-year, a 10-year, a 15-year. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You should be able to have alternatives to look at, because I will tell you that if you put that alternative plan in front of a voter or a taxpayer, they'd be quite interested. They'd want to know, well, what is the difference? You know, what could we do with our existing existing budget money that would come from reauthorizing the CIT that doesn't raise my tax from what it is today?
Wouldn't you say, though, that the proposal in Hillsborough County is pretty specific? I mean, it does say where the money's going to go. It does.
Well, what project does it say? I haven't found in five pages. I don't see one project listed. The only plan that they have referenced, which has been reported in the media, and I believe I was actually at Cafe Con Tampa when they presented last Friday.
This was last Friday.
Right. Yeah. Is the MPO's 2040 long-range plan. Well, that long-range plan is about 200 pages long if you want to do some nightly reading, but it's got the four rail systems in it. And by the way, it has a whole funding category dedicated to road capacity. So, you know, which way are they having it? It seems like they're having it every which way, up and down and sideways that can be. But the point is, there's not one specific project in
this. You're saying this is too vague then. Okay, I got you.
Way too vague. Plus, they lock in one side. If you look at the legal language that's used, because we scrutinized it, you know, the legal language becomes very critical, even the ands and the ors, and where you're restricting reallocation versus not. Oh, you're stuck with it for 30 years.
Sharon, we've known each other a long time. You've been on several TV shows that I've done and radio shows. You're famous because you're part of a group, No Tax for Tracks. Are you doing this because there's a slight possibility in this 1 cent sales tax that may fund rail in Hillsborough County?
Well, we don't think that rail is a good use of money, especially in today's environment with disruption of transit as we've seen ridership declining across the country. Again, I think people would look at a 10-year plan and look at that, and they would have specific projects in it and say, hey, you know, let's do that, and we can always reauthorize it. So going outside of 10 years, I think it just kind of puts a bad taste in people's mouth because we've already experienced a 30-year tax and what's happened to it.
Well, we're talking with Sharon Calvert, and she's with a group called No Tax for Tracks, and she is one of the opponents of the countywide sales tax increase in Hillsborough County that's on the ballot November 6th. And our phone number is 813-239-9663. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. I got to ask Americans for Prosperity, which is a Koch brothers group. They're heavily involved in opposing this measure and measures like this around the country. Are you connected with them?
No, we're not. And, you know, I don't know what all they're doing, but yes, they have come out opposed, but I have no idea. I mean, I've seen some ads, I guess, they've been doing.
What's your take on the motivation of All for Transportation? What's your take on the motive that it was put on the ballot? It was certainly had a lot of money behind it to gather the petitions.
Well, and that should be questionable, too.
So what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's questionable, too, because if you look who is funding it, it's not grassroots. It's special interest. It doesn't matter that the face may be, you know, a group of young people. The money behind it, that's the power. And that was used to, pay professionals to do the petition campaign. But I think the point is they didn't have a broad group of stakeholders involved in writing it. I mean, I think I was at Cafe Con Tampa when I believe there was kind of a concern brought up from the African-American community on that. It doesn't appear that perhaps they were engaged in this. Were people engaged from the suburban area? From everything that I can tell and from what I know, it was written by transit advocates because that's where the focus is on the transit side.
You mentioned Uber a moment ago. I mean, are you convinced that Uber is going to solve our traffic problems in 10 or 15 years?
I didn't say that.
Oh, well, you mentioned it.
It's disrupted transit. I mean, I have family members in D.C. who use Uber instead of the Metro.
Right. I've done a few shows about Uber. One of the big questions is that the company that runs Uber is borrowing money like crazy. They're not making any money right now. And
But Rob, what we're going is to app-based, services. And that's what young people like. They like that instant gratification. I pull up my app, whether it's Uber, Lyft, or the next one that comes along, right? I mean, look at Uber Pool. Uber Pool is basically transit.
Yeah. You know, I like Uber, too. I mean, I think there's a value to Uber. But if I'm in Washington, D.C., or if I'm in Boston or San Francisco, I jump on the train because that's the easiest way usually to get around town or get to the airport.
And in those large metropolitan areas, I mean, even there, the ridership has declined. You know, even on the subway in New York City, the ridership declined in the last year. But I'm not saying it doesn't work in densely populated when you have a single, very large central business district. Hillsborough County and Tampa Bay naturally grew dispersed. We have multiple work centers. So we don't have a large, huge number of people going into one area from all over into that central business district. In fact, the Tampa central business district is smaller than Charlotte's. So that's just the way that we've grown up already.
I know that, but you live here. I mean, if you're on State Road 60 and you're coming into town from Brandon, or if you're on US 19, although US 19 is better these days than it was 10 years ago, but if you're on I-275 going north and south through Tampa at rush hour, it is wall-to-wall. If you're on I-4 going either way in the morning commute or the afternoon commute, it's wall-to-wall. Coming in from St. Petersburg, the Gandhi, the Courtney Campbell, the I-275, the Howard Franklin, they're all jammed with people. What do we do about that?
Well, I mean, the interstates, that's a whole nother funding situation.
Right, of
course, so it's really separate from this referendum,
but
I mean, from the interstate perspective, you know, South Florida. Start by putting in the managed toll lanes where express bus can use it, school buses could use it as well, and then it's a paid toll by those users who decide to pay that toll that help the people that are in the general purpose lanes. I mean, they're doing that on the Howard Franklin Bridge is the plan. Grow that transit, because then once you see that ridership is there, because who knows what in 10 or 15 years, what that transportation mode is going to be. Mm-hmm. But be flexible with that.
We're going to take some phone calls. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. We're getting back to Hillsborough County. There are two tax issues on the ballot this time. One is to raise taxes for schools, for the school district. We know the problems. The air conditioning is not working. There's lead in pipes in some of the schools. Some of the schools really need to be upgraded. Robert E. Lee needs to be rebuilt. My take on it is that the parents that go into the ballot and vote on November 6th, they're going to look at the two taxes and probably vote for one, but not both. That's my take, is living here a long time. And it could be that they vote for education and don't vote for transportation.
I think that's highly possible. Again, the superintendent is making his case. We know the issue. We know what the problem is, and they have come up with a list for a limited amount of time to fix it. Very, very different from five pages of legalese that most people haven't read. And the supporters on the transit side are not doing what the superintendent is doing.
But we're going to still have these monstrous traffic jams, at, you know, after November 6th.
But the if you go into the MPO's long-range plan, it says congestion will get worse. So if you're not going to widen any roads, especially go out to South County or into the eastern part of the county, Plant City, for example, I mean, if you don't do road widening and additional lane capacity, go up to Brisby Down and see what a huge difference that road widening has done up in that area. I mean, I lived up there, right? So yeah. I dealt with that for years. It's made a huge difference.
On page 1B of the Tampa Bay Times today, there's a story about Hillsborough County Commissioner Pat Kemp. She says that developers have not been required to pay high enough fees for development. In the last few years, are we in this problem because we have made it too easy to develop in places like the East County around Riverview and south of Brandon? I mean, Brandon has exploded in the last 10 mm-hmm. or 15 years.
But not going to get any benefit from this plan.
Right, I understand. But I'm just generally speaking, philosophically speaking, have we made it too cheap for developers to build giant housing complexes, especially in the eastern part of the county?
That's one thing that Stacey White has brought up from his, he's in that district, right? In fact, he mentioned it today.
And
if you look historically, when the housing boom was going on and you looked at the impact fees, it wasn't a mobility fee because they're pretty, more recent. But just from the impact fee perspective, Hillsborough County kept their impact fees low while other areas, surrounding counties, were raising theirs. So somebody made a lot of money on it, right? And we're kind of paying the price for it now.
Let's take some phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. We're talking about the proposal in Hillsborough County to raise the sales tax rather by 1 cent to pay for transportation. Our guest Sharon Calvert is with No Tax for Tracks. She would argue that it's not a 1 cent increase, it's a 14% increase. That's what your argument is.
That's the rate increase, yes.
Let's take some phone calls, and we're going to go to Derek, who's in Tampa. Derek, what point would you like to make about transportation?
Well, I just want to say that I agree with Sharon wholeheartedly. First of all, she's right. If you're not going to widen the road, and if you look at Tri-Rail down in Miami, it's a disaster. It's broke. No one rides it. No one's going to ride the buses. They don't ride them now. And the ones that do ride them don't pay any taxes, majority. So, you know, if you're not going to widen the roads, there's no point in doing it. And bike lanes, that's a joke. I mean, putting bike lanes in, are you kidding me? You really think that's going to alleviate traffic congestion? No, that's just going to increase the income for lawyers once you hit one of them because they drive, they don't follow the law. They ride in a 4-foot-wide strip down Fowler Avenue where the speed limit is 50. And personally, I'm mortified that one of them's going to roll off in front of my car and every lawyer in Tampa is going to hit me up civilly and criminally. So I agree with her. You don't need a tax. You need to, if you're going to have the tax, put it towards the road because widening roads and having more roads in the infrastructure is what alleviates traffic. Not bike lanes and buses and administrative people at the county center. Let's not forget that.
All right. So, Derek, you're a no vote. You want more money spent on roads. How would you pay for it? What would you do?
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways to do it, but raising their sales tax is not one of them. I don't have the answer, but I just know that I wouldn't mind raising the tax if it went to the road, but it's not going to. It's going to go to bikes and buses and she's right, rail. You're right. I am afraid of rail because it doesn't work. She's right. Tampa is spread out. This isn't Boston. This isn't San Francisco. This isn't Metro Philly or Washington, D.C. or New York. This is Tampa, and there's nothing close to anywhere. And, you know, the problem with rail is when you get off at your destination, then you got to Uber somewhere to get to where you really want to go. And it just doesn't work.
Okay. Derek, thanks a lot. Thanks. All right. So do you want to add anything to that? Sharon?
I've always felt that we really got to look at fixing our roads first. And I'm not against transit, but I think we need to be smart about it. And if anything, I really want to make sure that those that depend on transit have their needs met.
Okay, so one of the arguments, though, is that a lot of people are low income here in Hillsborough County, and they have to rely on the bus service to get back and forth to their jobs. They make $8 or $9 or $10 an hour. They can't afford a car. And so if you have the buses more reliable, run more often, you're gonna help these people who are at the lower end of the income.
Right, and if you looked at HART's 10-year vision plan, TDP, which could help do that, you can fund that plan at a fraction of the cost of this one. I mean, the problem is in those neighborhoods where the rail will probably be going through, it's going to actually raise their housing cost. I mean, gentrification is a real issue with these fixed guideway systems. I mean, it's occurred, you know, throughout the country wherever they've been implemented.
All right, let's take some more phone calls. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Paige, who's in St. Petersburg. Hi, Paige. You're on WMNF with Sharon Calvert.
Good morning, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
Hey, my take on it is this. I'm for the rail. And with the rail issue, it's just like with the marijuana issue to me. You got a bunch of people who may be experts or so-called experts downplaying and against issues such as the rail. But in the bigger picture, when you go to every big so-called city, they have mass transit. So if we want to be amongst the big cities and the metropolitan areas, I think we need it. And furthermore, we need a Morgan type individual or firm to come and back this push to have rail, because we'll never get it with people such as your guest talking against it.
All right, Paige. Paige, thank you so much. Thanks for your comments. You know, Sharon, I am seeing more high-rises, not high-rises in the sense of Miami or New York, but I'm seeing buildings, you know, 6 stories tall, 7 stories tall in Palma Sea, in Seminole Heights, in St. Petersburg. So when you talk about density, already we're seeing more density happening. It's not happening in Brandon, but it is happening in the cities.
Well, perhaps the city needs to take a look at their budget. Again, use value capture and see what they could do for those residents that live in the city of Tampa. I mean, again, on the rail side, for many of these areas that are heavily in debt, the ridership's not there, so the operating costs, you know, will get you eventually. It's going to hurt them to actually get into the 21st century, because Florida wants to be a leader in autonomous vehicle technology, which we are. We've got a lot going on with FDOT and the SunTrack over there. So connected vehicle, autonomous vehicle, and that will translate into the transit area as well. And once that does, that takes out a lot of the overhead cost. But rubber-wheeled solutions just make it much more flexible, because here, even in the Tampa Bay area, growth occurs in various places. I mean, yes, there will be growth in the city of Tampa, but right now it's exploding outside the city of Tampa.
Well, you're listening to a live program on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Let's go to Gino, who's in Tampa. Hi, Gino, you're on with Sharon Calvert, and we're talking about the 1 cent sales tax.
Yes, I'm for rails. The reason why is because well, I grew up between small town Williston, Florida, and Newark, New Jersey. All of my life before I moved to Tampa, I've been here 20 years. Newark's track goes into Jersey City, and then goes into New York City. They're full every day. I mean, I'm 56. They've been full all my life, and it went from maybe 50 cents. Right, I was there in December, and I think it's to go into New York City from Newark was about $3 now. So from 50 cents to $3 in basically all of my life. And it goes over water from Newark to Jersey City. It goes over the water. That train could go from here to St. Pete, and it could go into Orlando. And believe me, people will ride it. That I-4, not only is it crowded, it's dangerous. I guarantee you there's an accident or two or three every week. That will relieve that traffic in and out. Thank you.
All right.
Well, in talking about I-4, I mean, now we have Brightline. You know, we have Brightline that's already operating from Miami, I believe, up to West Palm.
It is, and it's going to be extended
eventually. And they're looking to come up and then cross over to Orlando. and then come over to Tampa, perhaps eventually.
But Sharon, I've talked to a lot of Republicans on the East Coast, and say that they say the problem with Brightline is it's not really high-speed rail. It's much slower than high-speed rail. It's at grade level, so people are getting killed all the time because they don't know how to interact with their car with the
train. But that's what some of this rail is. I mean, look at SunRail's the same way. That accident.
Well, I agree with you. And here we had a governor, though, that turned down high-speed rail that was going to be elevated. It was going to be above the grade. It wasn't going to interact with cars. And the governor said, no, he didn't like that idea.
You can talk about Brightline, but it is a service that's coming out of the private sector. And by the way, they're financing it through their transit or their privately subsidized transit-oriented development.
But the train stations are publicly subsidized. So the Orlando link or the Orlando and
the Orlando is being built also for SunRail. So they're putting in that mobility center for because they want to get SunRail.
Which is a public subsidy for Brightline.
Right, but if you look at the train stations, Brightline down in the south part of the county, they are property owned by the company that owns Brightline.
All right, I'm going to try to bring this back to Hillsborough County.
Yeah, because, good.
Because
we can go off.
Yeah, right? I mean, you and I love to talk about trains because we've been doing this for how many years, Sharon?
Eight.
Okay. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Here's an email from Adam. He writes, I'm sick of people whining about taxes. We need taxes to pay for nice things. That's how it works. Stop whining about a penny and a half. And a half penny. There will be a board made of citizens to ensure the money is used properly. We've needed money for transportation and education in Hillsborough County for a long time. And I'm tired of people trying to stop progress, writes Adam. All right, so there is this oversight board, 13-member oversight board, that's going to make sure that the money, if it is passed, is well spent.
And who appoints them?
The county commission appoints several members, right?
Yeah, well, it's about electeds. So the electeds appoint these people. And all the restrictions on the appointees are coincidentally in the county. And it's a bureaucracy that's really accountable to no one.
I'll just read. The committee would include appointees from the county, the cities, and HART, and also experts appointed by the county's elected constitutional officers, including the clerk, the property appraiser, and the tax collector. But that doesn't give you...
Well, and if you read the rest of the fine print, again, there can be no reallocation on the transit side. That is locked in, and it is recession-proof, regardless of a downturn in the economy when the sales tax could be reduced, right? On the general purpose side, that oversight committee, if something changed in the next 10 or 15 years, only in congestion reduction, which is the intersection improvements, maintenance, which is the potholes, and safety, can money be reallocated with a 75% super majority.
Of the county commission?
No, of the oversight committee.
Of the oversight committee.
So it takes this huge... I mean, when was the last time you heard of a 75% super majority to change anything for 30 years?
Sharon Calvert is here, and we're talking about the proposal to raise the tax in Hillsborough County by 1 cent. It's on the ballot for people in Hillsborough County, and the money would go for transportation improvements. Sharon is opposed to it. You've been hearing her ideas about why she's opposed. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Greg's in Safety Harbor. He writes, could ridership be down in the major cities on their public transportation because more people are working from home, writes Gregory.
That is true. I think it was governing.com just came out in September with an article, maybe it was October recently, about telecommuters, the number of telecommuters outnumbering those that use public transportation. So yes, that is a real solution for people that work from home.
813 writes this, Sharon, this person is anonymous, but they say, can you ask her if she's being paid by any groups? They want to know.
No, but we're at notaxfortracks.com, and you can go there and donate to the cause.
Let's take some more phone calls, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Jim and Brandon. Jim, you're on the air with Sharon Calvert.
Hi, good morning. I enthusiastically agree with Sharon, specifically against rail. I am so thankful that Governor Crist turned down the government's offer of rail.
Jim, I think we lost you. Jim, I think he was going through a bad part of the cell phone service. Jim, are you there? All right. Jim, thanks a lot. Jim, we just missed the last 15 seconds of what you said.
Am I still there?
Yeah, you just came back just this second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look at California, who took the money for that rail, and see what a boondoggle that's turned out to be. I'm so thankful We the Florida taxpayers didn't get hit with that.
But California is moving
in this area. We're spread out.
Jim,
the argument that we're like Boston or New York, well, then why don't we dig subways if you want to be just like them? This is not the area for rail.
But, Jim, what do we do about those massive traffic jams in the morning and the afternoon here in the Bay Area?
But you make a good point. That's peak traffic, and that's a lot of what our congestion is. It's that along with traffic accidents. Technology, I think, is going to help us both ways, both route you around congestion as well as traffic accidents. So again, look at a 10-year plan, see what you can do, build on that. But thinking that we know what transportation is going to look like in 30 years, I think is kind of ludicrous.
But what if you're worried about it right now? I mean, what if, you know, the other night...
But you need to do something now.
The other night, I was coming back from St. Petersburg into Tampa at 7 o'clock at night, and it is wall-to-wall on the Howard Franklin Bridge. There was no hockey game. There was nothing going on in Tampa. It was just a traffic jam.
And you know what? That is shameful. But... and actually, what was it, about 10 years ago, the Tribune was writing about, oh my goodness, we have to fix the interstate. Well, all of a sudden, they'd rather have the train across the interstate. And that is being addressed by FDOT, where they are going to rebuild the northbound span, because that is a travesty. If I was the airport, well, you know, Joe Lapano, I would have been screaming about, you had to fix getting into my airport as quickly as possible. But that was delayed with some of those other issues that were going on with expanding the interstate, but it is, you know, in progress today.
Hey, Jim, thanks a lot for your phone call.
You're welcome.
All right. You know, Jim made the point that California is a boondoggle, but they are going, I mean, now I'm getting off the Hillsborough County issue and getting back on high-speed rail. California took the high-speed rail money, and they are building it. And it's expensive, but they are building it.
Well, when you bulldoze through mountains, I guess, you know, it's going to be real. And they're going through, you know, Central Valley, right? And disrupting those people.
But it's above grade, though. It's not.
But the problem is will that ever really get built? Because people are getting so angry about it now that I just read about an initiative to take that money and put it towards roads.
Okay, well, we'll find out what happens. We'll find out if it's ever built. Mark writes this, I agree with your guest. I'm leery of the broad tax proposals, but living my whole life inside the city of Chicago, trains are a must here. They will be worth the effort, and if they were installed along the main arteries going into downtown, the ridership would be there. That's Mark, who lives in Brandon. Mark, thank you for your email. I appreciate that. Let's go to Susan, who's on a beautiful and rustic Anna Maria Island. Susan, you're on.
Yeah. Hello. I'm a big supporter of rail, especially high speed rail, and I just think I've traveled all over the world, and it works. And it's ridiculous that we don't come up to the 21st century. And I'm talking too high speed rail, not these choo choo trains like the old Wild Wild West. It's ridiculous. I mean, I can't believe that we're so backwards. And it works. You use it. I enjoy it when I go to cities. It has so many advantages. I mean, let's go all in. Let's go with high-speed rail.
All right.
We could have actually been put on the map if we didn't turn down the federal money.
All right.
The tourism we had had.
Susan, thank you so much. You. We're kind of running out of time here.
I would just like to make one point. Let's bring it back local here. If you go to the MPO's long-range plan from 2040, which the All for Transportation is the only plan they say this is funding, in there they have some capacity estimates. And it shows that a 1% sales tax hike versus a 0.5% sales tax hike for ridership and transit is negligible. And you can see that right there.
Hmm.
So for another 0.5 cent of a sales tax, what return on investment are you actually getting in terms of ridership?
Sharon, how can people get in touch with No Tax for Tracks?
Well, go to notaxfortracks.com. It'll take you to our Facebook page. You can direct message us there.
The election is November 6th.
Like our 6th. Facebook page?
The election is November 6th. This issue will be on the ballot in Hillsborough County for all Hillsborough County voters.
And early voting starts Monday.
All right, Sharon Calvert, thanks a lot for coming by.
Thank you so much, Rob.
You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up, 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. We'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. This is WMNF Tampa. Jeez, like